Hello and welcome to There Will Be Film. I'm Nathan Darcy Roberts and I'm here once again with Heidi Regan and Stuart Laws.
Hi, I'm Stuart.
Jinx, now you're my slave. That's what we did in my family. If you got jinxed, you had to be their slave. Okay. I belonged to a white man for 4 months. And I'm here with special guest Jin Hao Lee.
Hello, I'm sorry you were a slave.
No, I think great.
This is good for me because this is the apology that I wish every episode of the pod started with. I want every episode of the pod to start with reparations, and it's sickening that it's taken this long.
Yeah, let's list all the things that people should apologize for our character or our lives. So Nathan, you can start.
Heidi, I apologize it took so long for you to get the vote.
We're doing apologies to each other.
That's nice.
Stu, I'm sorry you're such a little bitch.
You couldn't even make it to the end of that.
I felt bad.
I actually should apologise as well that you're such a little bitch. It's been too long.
Yeah.
I have a lot of respect for you, Stuart. I think China has been without blemish. And so has Singapore.
Yeah, everyone else. Australia also nothing bad.
Thank you for helping us because we're trying to really break into the Chinese market and that could have really fucked us over.
What about wife guys? Do you think you need to apologize for anything they've done?
Do I need to apologize for wife guys on behalf of my wife? I don't think she'd want me to do that. Let me tell you about her.
So, Jin, we're going to start off. What is your favourite film of all time? What do you think is the best film of all time?
I have two answers. Is that okay?
No. It's highly unorthodox.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you for asking.
The real answer is Shoplifters, 2018.
Oh. Yeah.
But I think the answer that might have more conversation is Ocean's 11.
Oh,
do you know what I mean?
Yeah, two heist films.
I get
you.
Oh, I never noticed that.
You love stealing things and good hugs. I think there's a good hug in Ocean's 11 as well, isn't there?
Yeah, there's at the end, they do hug. They have a hug, I think.
Can you remind the listener, not me, I know a lot. Can you remind them what Shoplifters is?
Shoplifters is a Japanese movie about these people who are petty criminals and they get together and form a family.
Oh my God.
Can you now explain the plot?
Hackers were all family, I reckon.
Can you explain the plot of Ocean's 11 now in the same way?
Ocean's 11 is 11 like indie guys trying to topple the capitalism that is plaguing Las Vegas.
I would say it's a bunch of petty criminals who come together to form a family. It's the same film.
They're all very petty.
Okay.
Yeah.
Like if you step on like George Clooney's shoe, he'll step on Brad Pitt's shoe. They're very petty.
And I would say that the Avengers is a bunch of petty heroes that come together to.
Okay, that's an edit point. Just going to get rid of that right off the bat.
They don't like when I mention the Avengers.
Why not?
I guess they don't like family like we do.
Hey. Fast, Furious.
You went in and then you immediately withdrew. You're like, I don't know if we're at that yet.
Yeah, because we haven't met. I'm sorry.
I mean, I loved it. And now I feel like we are like a group of petty podcasters
who are
now a family.
I had a really weird experience when I saw Shoplifters because I had this thing where the guy in front of me was leaning forward the entire time. You know, like if you lean back in your seat, it makes you lower.
Yes.
So because he was leaning forward, he was blocking the subtitles. I had to like lean really high up in my seat the entire time. So I loved it. But my associations are rage.
You sort of portray yourself as quite like the cineast, sort of a very film fanatic.
Cine-ass.
And yet you didn't like do what I did when I went to see Shoplifters, which is just learn Japanese.
Yeah. I was going to say, I think that guy might have been an ambassador from Japan.
Yes.
And that was his way of being like, see what you've done. Now, he's there every week.
You went to an ambassador screening.
I did, but I took my blind friend, and I like to read out the subtitles on their behalf.
Wow.
I see. This is a joke podcast. I thought we were here to discuss film. And we've done nothing but
wrong. Can you say that at the end of every segment? Go, I see. This is a joke podcast. Just because we need to remind the listeners sometimes.
And sometimes it takes a lot longer for guests to find this out. Usually they're like 35 minutes in and like, oh, that's what's been going on. Okay.
There's irony here. I'm changing my approach.
Ocean's 11, great film.
Yeah. It's my comfort movie.
Yeah.
Yes.
What a great soundtrack. Really good soundtrack.
Yes.
Lovely stuff.
George
and it's like Clooney is prime Clooney, isn't
yes.
it?
Yes.
I've not seen it since it was at the cinema.
Wow.
Whoa. Yeah.
Last week in a revival.
He's seen it. 35mm. It was incredible.
Do you think Clooney is the main? To me, Brad Pitt is the main. Oh.
No, but he's Ocean. He's Danny Ocean.
Of course.
Yeah,
but okay.
And he brings the whole thing together, right?
Yes. And then the spin-off Ocean's 8 is like a relation to him.
Is it his sister?
I know, but what something do you like feel that, like in your heart of hearts? Because
I mean, I'm not allowed to say that anymore because those views are unacceptable in modern society. But I feel in my heart of hearts that it's Clooney's movie.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. When I think of Ocean's 11, I forget Brad Pitt was in it. I don't know if that implies anything.
This is very interesting. Because to me, why it's so comforting is I like seeing him eat the food.
A really great part.
Do you know what I mean?
Love that
part.
So to you, Ocean's 11 is just a mukbang.
A mukbang, yeah.
Yeah, that's your comfort.
Can you remind me the food bit?
Chips.
He's what? Just always eating in every scene.
Every scene.
Oh, I would have. No wonder I've erased it from my memory because I hate the sound of anyone eating, especially in a film.
Really?
So I would have. But Brad Pitt's
always eating. I think it was Fight Club that he first did it, right? That's when they first found out that it works.
He could eat.
Yeah.
There's a great scene in it where he is watching Clooney talk to Julia Roberts and he eats a prawn cocktail.
That's the most iconic scene.
Yeah. Wait, is it about a heist?
My favorite bit in that is when Clooney has to come and do his speech to get Brad Pitt on board. And then Brad Pitt's like, you practiced that speech?
Yeah.
Yes.
And he's like,
yes.
Yeah, did I rush it?
Yeah.
No, it was good.
So
love that. And it was one of the first times of watching a film that where it was like so informal and casual that I was like, oh, that's cool. That's like really relaxed dialogue. It didn't feel filmic in any way.
Yeah,
loved that.
Do you know what did feel filmic is they have all these like heist terms. They'll be like, oh, we're going to do a Johnny Double.
Yeah,
but these are not real. But they never say they're not real, I think.
Mm. Yeah.
And I like picking out those like, oh, okay.
What a rich world they create subtly.
Yes, you know like the sex moves in 40-Year-Old Virgin.
Mm.
You know, where they took, where you know he's like, have you done like Cincinnati bow tie, an alligator fuck house? That stuff, I remember really loving that. As like, oh my God. But the Cincinnati bow tie is a real sex move.
Okay.
It's the only one I do.
Yeah.
I start and finish in the Cincinnati bow tie.
Do you want to know what it is?
On
yes,
the point
please.
Of yes and, as a rule in improv, I do. But like, as but me, other, not,
morally, no.
But I think for the podcast.
It's when you've had a tracheotomy and you have a trach hole and someone has sex with the trach hole and it causes blood to.
Why would you say this?
Spurt in a bow tie shape.
That's tricky because it's the one movie you can't use a safe word.
I imagine Stuart Laws as a kid and this is your show and tell to the class. Because you were so excited about the hotel and you looked
big,
around.
Big excited. Yeah.
And now to demonstrate, meet Pete.
Hello.
I'm here to warn you.
So how does that feel? Does that feel like an edit point or?
Yeah.
No, that feels like a clip.
We're clipping.
That's staying in, baby. You ain't getting rid of that. That is gold. So, Jin, what is your least favorite film of all time? What's the film you hate the most?
I don't like how much people like La La Land. I think it was okay.
Is that still
Do
part of the conversation?
Adore it?
They did, but I feel like no one talks about it anymore.
La La Land?
Yeah, people are over it.
No one talks about Shoplift. Well, we are.
We are.
I'm bringing it back.
I talk about all the time Shoplifters.
Really? What didn't I like about it? I think I don't like that they've both succeeded.
Well, yeah.
But they're portraying. But that's life, you know.
What, both these people succeeding?
No, it's like, I'm so aware of the fact that Emma Stone has made it.
Mm. Oh, in real life, they've both.
So I'm like, I'm like, no, no, that's Ryan. That's Ryan from Hollywood. I don't believe that he's...
Yeah, yeah. Is that how you refer to all successful actors? Like so-and-so from Hollywood, Al Pacino from Hollywood, yeah?
Yeah, Albert, Al Pacino from Hollywood.
Rob from Hollywood. Did you have a question?
Killian from... Ireland.
Ireland, yeah.
That was
yeah.
very risky. That was good. Yeah, yeah. You're trying to trap us.
You're trying to trap us.
We'll go gotcha on this podcast. Yeah. We're going to get you.
Idris from?
Elba.
Yeah, the island Elba, of Elba, yeah. where Napoleon yeah. was sent to.
But I don't like La La Land.
Mm. Please.
I don't know if I do. I don't know if I tricked myself into... There are elements of La La Land I like.
You did a heist on yourself to yep. like the film.
I incepted myself.
And then
I was
a
Cillian Murphy in that world. But I love the first two numbers. I think the first two numbers are great.
Yeah, the one on the highway is
one of the highways is great. Yep. And
can I offer a counterpoint?
Mm.
No, it's shit.
But I hate Babylon.
I hadn't thought of that.
You hate
Babylon, the one he made afterwards, a couple of years ago.
No,
with, hilariously bad.
Babylon really? Is a fucking mess. And the degree to which I hate Babylon makes you think, in retrospect, I'll hate La La Land.
Yeah,
I liked the ending of La La Land. I thought
the montage.
Yeah, where it's like, because I always like things where it's like alternate lives or yeah. what could have been.
Wait, is that the ending?
Yeah. Mm. Oh. Did you leave the cinema in anger before?
No, I thought she, did she not succeed?
What a good question. She did succeed, but their love, spoiler, did not.
I see.
That's what I liked about it. I did yeah. like the fact that like, they had to choose their careers and as a consequence of that, they couldn't ever be together.
Yeah, yeah. Which I like. I like that sort of stuff.
You know what? Knowing that, it is my favorite movie yeah. of all time.
Because I bet to be Emma from Hollywood and Ryan from Hollywood, they've probably had to make similar choices in their days.
I think so. I'm mm. a big Emma Stone fan.
Oh,
I love the
and got Ryan.
I like that Emma and Robert Pattinson started from like, let's say Twilight and Easy A,
yeah,
but
yeah,
have
yeah.
become crazy over the years. I think that's so
yeah,
fun.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm very happy for them.
Yeah, also, yeah. Easy A, I loved that film.
Of course.
Yeah, mostly for Stanley Tucci as the dad.
What a guy.
Best dad what a guy. In any film.
What is Easy A about?
It's a like reference to the Scarlet Letter type thing, and she, I think everyone thinks she's slept with.
Yeah, it's like a slut shaming.
Yeah,
right?
It's a yeah. slut shaming.
Oh, that sounds like my kind of film. That's,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
But you would be on the wrong side.
Yeah, I need to. Yeah.
No, yeah. No, I think that's it. Yeah.
No,
I'll
no,
get out my big wagging finger. For shame.
Oh no.
Look at this nasty woman.
Can we zoom into his wagging finger?
Yeah. Get can real, I get an angle on nice the and close.
Okay, now we're going to do round one, fill in the blanks. Question one. To film one of the scenes in Mean Girls, Amy Poehler blank to get the dog to blank.
It's such why a confusing a sentence.
Why is there a blank before dog? Subject, verb.
I think it's like you could say she had to or she insisted to or she tried to.
Managed to
yeah.
get a dog to kiss her.
Yeah.
That sort of
she
thing.
Wished... She forced the dog to fall in love with a cat.
Wow.
Which impossible is against nature.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. yeah. yeah.
Hence the forcing.
I feel like I know the real answer.
What is
maybe.
The real answer?
It's something to... Oh, no, I'm just guessing, but doesn't in the film the dog chew on her fake boob? And
she's
so I think she insisted to make the dog... breastfeed to her boob. I forget the wording of the sentence.
Wow.
Yeah, that felt like smooth. Yeah. That felt like good
yeah.
language.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Hashtag me too.
Breastfeeding on the dance floor.
Saltburn. <Yeah. laughs> what
cinnamon
is the
bow tie on the dance floor.
What is the answer? Is it?
Have you got a suggestion?
No, that's it. I'm happy with that.
Okay, the answer is she put chipolatas in her bra to make the dog nibble at her boobs.
And so what is the sentence exactly?
Yeah.
To film one of the scenes in Mean Girls, Amy Poehler put chipolatas in her bra to get a dog to chew on her boob.
And when the dog two movement happens, Amy Poehler is going down.
Mm-hmm.
They've been silenced for too long. Question two. Joaquin Phoenix replaced Mark Ruffalo in Signs because Mark Ruffalo blank.
Wasn't available.
Was never cast.
Refused to point blank to give away the twist to Sixth Sense, even years after.
Yes. Thought that they were all ghosts.
He's got a strict anti-ghost policy. Yeah.
Is Ruffalo actually scared of aliens? That's why.
Just the film, just the Cameron's movie.
Yeah.
And he was sure that was going to come up.
Yeah, he thought Shyamalan might make him watch it before the movie. Yeah.
Was Mark Ruffalo allergic to water, making him have the same... Oh my God, there's so much of Shyamalan. Is Shyamalan scared of water? Is that what it is?
I think he is.
Because like Unbreakable, David Dunn, Bruce Willis' character's weakness is water.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
The alien's weakness is water. The lady in the lady water's in water. Weakness is... water.
And then the beach film.
Old. Yeah, set by a beach.
This motherfucker's terrified of water.
He's an aquaphobe.
Or he's terrified of coming up with a new metaphor.
You hear that, M. Night?
Keep that sass.
Shots fired on Shyamalan.
What's the real answer?
The answer is because he had a benign brain tumor. Moving on!
Fun trivia!
Can, I love this comedy podcast.
You can really tell when I've struggled to find trivia, they do just become bleak and like not that fun.
You, this week you were like, I'm bringing the bleak.
Yeah, that's when I was like, okay, look, I've got to send these emails out a bit. Like, I've got to wrap this up.
She
like,
molested a dog.
It was benign, right? Ruffalo was fine.
Banana.
It was benign. Ruffalo is fine.
Yeah,
that's my
that's
vocal warm up.
The
next one is going to be like the next episode will be like, why did John Landis not work in cinema for a while? Oh, and we're all doing like, oh, because he got a job working on the moon. Wacky. No, he was responsible for someone, a child dying.
Why was Kevin Spacey replaced with all the money in the world?
Whoa.
Just trying to think of a rhyme with Spacey. Round two.
Here we go.
This is the big pitch round.
Yeah.
Okay.
This is where shit gets real.
Okay.
All right. There's no room for error here. I want to get you relaxed, Jen. I want to make you like.
I've never born for error.
Okay. So this week I'm going to be the studio exec, and you're pitching me a sequel to Julia Roberts and Richard Gere vehicle, The Runaway Bride.
I've never seen that.
Good, because neither have I.
There is no room for error here.
So I
also haven't seen it, actually.
Good, because I'm the exec. I've not seen this. I have just inherited the rights, but I knew it was a big, it made major box office back in the day.
Yeah.
So it's fundamentally, Judah Roberts is a bride who keeps ditching men at the altar. Richard Gere is a journalist who is hired to interview her about it.
Yeah.
At the end of the film, they start doing it. So this
and
is
you
the
mean
sequel.
Sex?
I mean full penetrative sex.
Okay.
I thought you meant
with
like,
protection.
Sorry, I thought you meant got married, right?
Yeah.
Well, that's part of sex.
Look,
100%.
Yeah, marriage is part of all sex.
It's one of the best positions. Yeah. the marriage.
The committed husband is my favorite position. Wife guy is my position. And I remember a scene in the trailer where she's looking like she's gonna leave, and he goes, stop her or like get the doors, and it looked very controlling.
Wait, sorry, this is multiple weddings. So this is her thing.
Yeah.
She loves.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, so have you like seen it, Sue?
Yes. Okay. It's basically it's a spiritual sequel to Pretty Woman.
I see.
Oh,
it was
yeah.
repairing Julia Roberts and Richard Gere and being like, hey, here we go, we're gonna have a great time. What a wonderful romantic comedy this is gonna be. It was less successful, but I say for
brava.
Yeah, brava. Congrats on making a worse film.
Yeah.
So our job, and thank you so much for having us in here to do this pitch. It's
thank
really
you.
Nice. And I don't in any way listen to the fact that neither of these have seen the film.
No.
Okay.
We're here to that's part of the it helps.
Yeah. So this is a spiritual sequel starring Richard Gere and Julia Roberts.
Yes.
Same thing, but with very different vibe, isn't it?
Mm. They are older and wiser.
They're older and wiser, and it's crucially, and this is Jin's input, it's a heist film.
Yes.
So
and family.
She is trying to steal his love away from his current wife.
Who owns a casino.
A casino, and she has locked up. His love is locked up, but not in a real safe, in an emotional safe. And it is Julia Roberts' job to sort of ingratiate herself, put together a team of people to help.
Yes.
And obviously we'll reveal at some point that Richard Gere's wife is toxic, is doing bad stuff, so there's a justification for it. For a while, Julia Roberts' character is the bad guy. You're like, this is it's the charming villain that we like, oh, we shouldn't like them, but they're so charming.
And it's not My Best Friend's Wedding.
Where she also played the villain.
Okay. Yes.
Yeah.
We make then, that clear throughout the film.
Yeah, we say it's not that.
Yeah.
Like a disclaimer comes up. Like when you're watching a screener. This isn't My Best Friend's Wedding.
They're already married, so that's it. It's basically My Best Friend's Wedding was 10 years ago.
Which is our title.
Now, who are we thinking? I mean, we obviously know, but for the crew, though,
because I think this is a compelling pitch, but what is the visualization of this emotional
heart,
safe? What are you seeing? Is it like a magic school bus scenario where they're actually going inside of his heart?
I've seen the avalanche scene from Inception.
Yes.
With as many guns.
Yes.
Yeah.
So the casino is up in the mountains.
So it's like he's got a cold heart. That's the issue. He's got a cold heart.
Yeah.
That's the tagline. Yes. One of many.
Yeah. Which is one of the other ones.
Yeah.
Can I hear a couple more?
Get out of my castle.
Yeah.
It makes sense halfway through.
In the film, it makes sense. It doesn't make sense otherwise.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. The conclusion basically. Oh, yeah. We were going to say the team. So we've got a team of seven heisters
who are helping her.
Yeah.
Win his heart.
So I just thought of a tagline, sorry.
Yes, I'm no. Just,
regret has a ring to it.
Hello.
Okay.
Hello. Does it have hello at the end?
Yeah.
Regret has a ring to it. Hello.
Goodbye. See you soon.
Just kidding. No, you hang up.
It gets the people staring at the poster long.
Yeah. So on the heist team,
The assembly montage?
I feel like one of them is kind of a life coach.
Yes, yeah. Really nice. She's going in basically to Richard Gere's wife and sort of trying to make them aware themselves that they shouldn't be married.
So it's almost like a wife coach.
That's a tagline.
So almost like a wife coach is the tagline.
Yeah.
So basically that's the scene where we're trying to get the combination lock. You know, it's like you've got to get in, so you need the code at some point. But that's our, like, you know, analogy scene where it's trying to get the code to how she actually feels about him. And actually, her behavior is toxic and she is treating him badly because she actually doesn't love him. She loves the concept of what he offers.
But then I think what should happen, I'm just going to tag in.
Yeah.
They find that they're trying to go in through the wrong exit or the wrong entrance.
Yeah.
Because everyone knows the way to a man's heart is through his butt. Through his big butt. So yeah, they go through the butt.
Yeah.
I've never seen a studio exec come in and work with us on the pitch.
I'm very excited about this because I have the option and it's about to elapse in 3 days. So I need to get this green lit, and otherwise I lose the rights.
Oh, yeah.
This is a big deal for me.
So, so we've got the life coach who's going to be played by...
me.
Brilliant.
And he's showing how committed he is to the role by not watching the original film.
And also, as a studio exec, I've never had it where a writer comes in and pitches themselves for a major part with zero acting experience, zero marketability. I respect the moxie.
How do you feel about Nathan saying you have zero marketability?
Oh, I wasn't paying attention.
And I love it when subsequently they zone out.
Doing their
we're
not
smashing
present
this.
Thing. Yeah.
So we also then have the classic character who is British but played by an American.
Yes.
Which is very exciting. We're gonna and who are we having to? I forget who we're having to play that person.
Emma Stone
is coming in and doing an English accent, but she's actually very
really
good at it.
Yeah, she's
that.
Really good at an English accent. Yeah.
So she has to change it a lot. So she actually ends up sounding a bit like this. Hi, I'm Emma Stone.
It's like she's in the room.
Yeah.
Someone just... No. Maybe instead of her Miley Cyrus, I feel she'd be bad at
she's
an
like,
English accent.
Hey, up! Got my Cincinnati bow tie going here.
Okay.
Yeah.
Another tagline, of course.
So that's the film. What do you reckon?
No, that sounds really powerful. I just want to say, so at the end...
Do you know who we're partnering with?
Do you?
Wait, what did you,
you know
say?
Who
wait, you're
with?
Coming with partners.
Yeah, yeah. We've got financial backers already, people sponsoring it. We've got product placement in line.
Who are you with?
Well, you tell them.
Tiffany's.
Yeah. Tiffany's.
And Co.
Yeah, and Co.
Yeah, you thought we couldn't get Co?
Yeah.
We got Co.
You got Co?
Yeah.
I've been trying to get Co for years.
Mm-hmm. Mm. It was a heist, if I may say so.
This
may
is, I
mean, we got a huge line of Co.
This is tricky. I mean, this is a big opportunity, but I once tried to do a Pretty Woman with my wife where I bought her Tiffany's and I closed the box, but I did it too fast and I cut off 3 of her fingers.
Oh, no. Did she laugh?
She did find it funny in retrospect.
Yeah, it is funny
when I sort of incepted her and got her to believe that it was actually very funny.
I thought you meant you tried to, with your wife, do a Pretty Woman where you went and paid a sex worker to stay with you for the weekend, but went, honey, it's like the film.
Well, while she was in recovery, I did have a former strong relationship with several sex workers. Yeah. But I was like, it's a bit.
It's just a bit.
It's just, I'm committing to the bit.
I love cinema.
Yeah.
I love it. Was the fourth wall.
Yeah, like, you should have known this was happening when you got with me, baby. I work in the biz.
Yeah,
this was going to happen.
This guy's right.
Yes, this sounds great. So and just finally, what is the final image? What are you leaving? What's like the big climactic set piece?
Well, obviously, it's called Runaway Bride 2.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that makes people think of Bridezilla, which makes people think of Godzilla.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think you know where I'm going.
Yes. Requiem for a Dream.
Yes. And that is the final.
The film ends with the characters sitting down and watching Requiem for a Dream together for 90 minutes.
Yeah, dressed as Godzilla.
Yeah.
And so many of our film pitches in the course of this show have ended up being at some point someone sits and watches another film for a nice chunk of the film. It's 3 hours long, but 90 minutes is watching Requiem for a Dream.
And it ends with them racing it on Letterboxd.
Yeah,
like 2.5.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Hard cut to black. That is fantastic. I am going to green light that. That sounds
thank
like a brilliant
pitch.
Thank
you
so much, Mr. Paramount.
please, Mr. Paramount's
from
my
Hollywood.
Father's name. So our final round, we did the punch up where, Jin, you share something awkward that's happened to you recently. Like just a weird experience you've had. And we're going to try and get you closure by sort of working it into a film.
Okay.
So is there something weird that's happened to you recently?
My housemate keeps not flushing. I'm sorry, that's a bit gross.
Hey, don't you apologize. It's your housemate doing it.
What are we talking about? What's in the bowl?
Okay, here we go. Mr. Cincinnati Bowl. So am I saying that right?
Yeah. Cincinnati bow tie.
Cincinnati bow tie. I'm so sorry.
I'm so sorry, sir.
No, my father is Mr. Cincinnati bow.
Just bits of himself and tissue. Just not a blank canvas, which is what I would like.
We're doing the big four, so to speak. You know when you're on safari and you see the big five, but in a toilet bowl there's the big four, isn't there?
Please,
can
who's
you please
the big four?
List the big four. But
no, there's the big five. There is the big five, isn't there?
Yeah. Who's in this heist group?
Piss. Shit.
I feel like I'm watching a young George Carlin.
The big five of a toilet bowl. Piss, shit, cum, blood, sick.
Yeah.
Are you serious?
At the same time, if you're lucky.
Also, tax receipts. Because they're at the door banging.
Are you telling me you don't adhere to the big five? I've got like wonderful artwork up on my walls of times that I've photographed the big five in the wild. Because you can see them at a zoo.
Yeah.
But it's not the same, is it? When
that's
you go
to
the
go to
toilet.
For, yeah.
Yeah, 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 yeah. You can see.
It's pissed down there.
Yeah. But this is so much better than a zoo.
And as you pull back a bit of toilet paper, you're like, oh, there's blood and cum as well.
I keep it coming.
This is poo poo. This is a big day.
Oh my God, are we going to round it off? Ugh, it's I added to it.
Okay, so he's doing some of the big
five.
Four,
big
five.
He's on the big five, and
and not flushing. Does he?
But he does. Do you guys believe in the thing where like you have to close the thing to flush?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
But I think you should also check. You should close it and check to see that it's gone.
100%.
Do you know what I mean?
I close it as it's flushing. It's closing. Then do a little peek. Then just like. Yeah. Indiana Jones when he's getting his hat. Just check
but
it's all
is
gone.
Your,
to me, it's like closing in and just flashing and not checking is like throwing a grenade over your shoulder.
Yeah.
You know it explodes.
Yeah, but it's cool. Long, it's really cool.
How long do you wait to check it? Because part of the reason for closing it is because of the poo particles.
Okay, so this is how it happens. You press the flush, you then stand there, and that's meditation time. While the flush happens,
when
you
think of poo's past,
you recenter yourself and you think about all the shits there have been and all the shits there will be.
And all the shits I didn't give.
And then, little check, you want to basically, you want to leave anything in a state that you wish that you would find it. Same with like relationships. Yeah. Same with
you have a tear in your eye.
Please say more on that.
No, I think I've elucidated as much as I have to on that.
Yeah, what a vivid window.
I would love to read your breakup letters.
Toilets.
I see this relationship as like a toilet. I have shut the lid on, done one quick check, no poo particles, and leave.
I've gotten the brush
out, the best.
Given you a clean, and then come on you.
Okay,
oh, what
Stuart?
What?
Stuart?
What? I took it too far.
No, this just got relatable.
If it helps, I hated how much I came right there, so I was sick on it as well. What? What have I said?
Okay, so just to recap for the film.
I can't wait for that to be clipped up.
Your housemate is not flushing.
Yeah.
And have you said anything?
We've had this convo many times.
Oh.
Wow.
But I love him very much. Mm. And he knows what's going on.
What's his... Does he have an argument back? Or does he just say, I'm sorry,
I'm sorry, I have a high protein diet.
That's not an excuse.
Yeah, that's not an excuse. Yeah. That's fucking madness. I mean, I think the framework for this film should be like Kill Bill.
Mm.
There's like the list of the big five that you need to address.
It's like the Hateful Eight or Kill Bill sort of energy to it.
Yeah,
I really like that.
Like you're ticking them off.
It's called the Big Five. Mm. Yeah, it's chaptered up. That's really nice.
Yeah.
And it's not in chronological order.
No,
yeah.
So it ends with the shit.
Yeah.
You've got to be building up to that.
Yeah.
So are you suggesting an actual murder?
No, I just think to seek them.
To seek
the Big Five.
To catch them in the act, to catch them like doing one of the things.
You need to catch them
coming in the toilet bowl. You need to catch them shitting in the toilet bowl. And cum is a hard one to catch. You can find someone puking in a toilet bowl pretty easily.
Absolutely. And you can help.
Yeah, you know they're going to get drunk. But to catch someone coming in a toilet bowl, that takes a real dab hand.
And that's the tagline.
To catch a killer, to catch someone coming in a toilet bowl.
It takes a real dab hand.
And you've got to like go high up in the Japanese mountain where you find someone with a big cum mustache.
Oh,
I mean, like,
oh, beautiful.
And
I just saw, I really want a close up of Heidi's face on that.
So, he says he will do better and he never does.
Sometimes he does. Sometimes it's clean.
Sometimes isn't enough. It needs to be all the time.
It's progress.
I think it's clear that he's never going to change. So I think the film is more about you either accepting that or leaving him for good.
And I'll tell you what, the end credits music, it's a remix of Nancy Sinatra's song from Kill Bill. But it will go like, piss shit, you flush me down. Come blood, you flush me down.
But and weirdly, they haven't given us the rights yet.
And as before we go to credits, there's going to be a big thing where like the shitter is looking in the toilet bowl. And it's from the POV of the toilet bowl. And he just looks down and goes, this is me at my most masochistic. Then he goes straight to credits.
Yeah. He falls into sunken place.
Yeah.
He falls into terrible.
It's like Trainspotting. He crawls directly in.
Yes.
I think it's a powerful, powerful story. Have you helped you with your problem?
Yes, 100%.
Yeah.
I think I have to murder him.
Yeah. That was the message I hope that came across.
Please.
Yeah.
In a tracksuit and everything.
Please murder your housemate. This is repulsive.
Or just get him to listen to this episode.
He will.
And the disgust that was expressed.
Is it Glenn? Shout out to Glenn.
I think, you know what? Next time he's pooping, I'll play the episode. I'll slide my phone under the toilet.
Yes.
Yeah. I think that'd be real creepy.
And then when you get that phone back, you Dettol wipe that.
Yeah, I'd probably just play it through the door. I'd put speakers in the door and then keep control of the volumes. And this is the end of the episode. Thanks so much for coming in, Jin. You wrap up, is there anything you want to plug?
I am doing an hour at the Edinburgh Fringe. So I will say more on my Instagram. Just my Instagram.
What is your Instagram?
At Jin Hao Li. That's J-I-N-H-A-O-L-I. And I would like to plug kindness.
Oh, nice. You are the first and only guest that will ever do that on this. We have real horrible people usually.
Yeah.
Very anti-kindness.
A lot of plugging evil.
If you've been cancelled, you get booked for this. That's it.
Okay. That's our promise.
Thanks again for listening to this episode of There Will Be Film. Please remember to rate, review, and subscribe. And we'll see you next week. Bye.